Well, Maggie's not here. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm guest hosting along with Angela Lang again today on the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. I'm delighted to be with you. Delighted to be joined by you too. Angela, how are you doing?
I'm good. I feel like despite the air quality yet again in Milwaukee, it's been a good day. It's been very sunny and I feel like my mood has been lifted when I was at the office today with my team.
Oh, good. Good day at the office.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you?
I had a good day. You know, I was looking at, I had a Carolina Wren in my yard yesterday. I'd been hearing it for about 10 days and I hadn't seen it. So I was questioning whether my ears were right. And I don't have the Merlin yet, which all the bird watchers have. This guy from Cornell that on your, it's an app you put on your phone and you hold it up outside and it'll tell you every bird that's singing. But I've been reluctant to get one just because I'm old school and, but I thought it was a Carolina Wren, and then there it was. So I felt like my ears are still working. I don't need the Merlin yet, but I think I'm going to get it next spring. But yeah, I had a good day. I'm looking forward to our show. Very excited about the show today because at 4:35, we have State Rep Robin Vining coming on, and then former State Rep Katrina Shanklin at the top of the next hour. So I'm looking forward to those conversations. Those are two political leaders who I have great respect for, and I think they have a lot to tell you and me and our listeners. And our listeners can join this conversation anytime they want at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text on that same line. You know, just yesterday, Angela, we started doing this thing together, you know, this day in history, kind of stealing some thunder from Pat Tritlo, but he doesn't own history.
Inspired by.
we can do it. And, you know, I've always been fascinated by history, and I studied it back in school, and I think it's important to give us a perspective on things. So we're going to run through some dates here. The first one, and I'm going to cheat a little again, because you and I aren't going to be on air tomorrow.
Yes.
So I wanted to at least be able to pay my respects today to the victims of the bombing of Hiroshima, because it was August 6th, 1945, 80 years ago tomorrow, that the United States dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima, Japan, killing 70,000 people that day, and then up to another 70,000 in the months that followed. And I went through the archives to find Harry Truman announcing the bombing dryly, and so I want us just to listen to the first minute of that, Jacob, if you could play that, and then I want to talk about it a little bit.
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima and destroyed its usefulness to the enemy. That bomb has more power than 20,000 tons of TNT. The Japanese began the war from the air at Pearl Harbor. They have been repaid manyfold, and the end is not yet. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction to supplement the growing power of our armed forces. In their present form, these bombs are now in production, and even more powerful forms are in development. It is an atomic bomb. It is a harnessing of the basic power of the universe. The force from which the sun draws its power has been loosed against those who brought war to the Far East.
Sorry about the audio quality, but that's what you get with the recording that was made 80 years ago. It was creepy, though, to listen to the whole thing, because he goes on and on for a couple minutes. Jacob may have heard the whole thing. And you, the listener, can Google it, just Harry Truman announcing the bombing of Hiroshima. It gets really creepy because there are a couple takes. You can tell they broke and he came back on and he's giggling at one point. So, it just really gave me the creeps. It reminded me of George W. Bush, you know, talking about bombing Iraq and then saying, look at my golf swing.
You know,
in the next breath, you know, that's what happens when you're running the empire. You can go kill 70,000 people and laugh about it, or 500,000 people in Iraq if you're George W. Bush. So Yeah, I think we need to commemorate the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki 3 days later. I also want to give a shout out to anti-nuclear activists in Wisconsin, in particular Bonnie Erfer and John LaForge at Nukewatch up at Luck, Wisconsin, who for decades have been educating the people of Wisconsin, the people of this country, about the risks of nuclear war. And they're courageous folks. They've gone to prison for nonviolently protesting against nuclear weapons and nuclear war, and spent years and years in prison, both of them, very valiant and folks. Also a shout out to Vets for Peace and Peace Action Wisconsin for commemorating these bombings every year. And you can Google them and see where there will be events, probably on Nagasaki Day, lanterns and other, making lanterns and putting them up in the sky or in the water to commemorate the victims. So also a shout out to my friends at the Progressive Magazine, where I used to work. I'm the old editor, when Noel used to say, nuclear war is topic A over here.
Yeah.
And also the scientists over at Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, keeping us aware of the real dangers, which, grew more real just last week when Donald Trump sent nuclear submarines closer to Russia. I mean, this is a four-year-old with nuclear weapons as toys. So it's alarming, and it's always this time of year in August when the anniversary of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki come around. It's just a time for real reflection. The United States, the only country that has used atomic weapons in war. And even conservative folks like George Will just wrote a column a couple days ago saying, how long are we going to be able to escape before there's another bombing with all the nuclear weapons that have been proliferating all across the world?
Yeah.
So it's an intense subject. I'm going to prefigure the poem that's coming up right before we get off the air. And in the last half hour, I found a poem that I'd never seen before, written by a survivor of the Hiroshima bombing, which is just an incredibly powerful poem. So that's tops on my list. The other a couple others I wanted to mention. One was on this date in 1962, Nelson Mandela was arrested by South African police, sentenced to life imprisonment for conspiring to overthrow the apartheid regime. He served 27 years in prison and was released in 1990, later, of course, to serve as president of South Africa. And I remember the day he got out of prison, and what an emotional day that was for anyone who's concerned about racism or apartheid. It was a great day. He was always a hero of mine in college. I had a button on my shirt with his name on and face on.
And he's more radical than what people, I think, give him credit for. And so it's very interesting to see this kind of like universal like belovedness from him. A few years ago, around this time, actually, for commemorating him, there was an exhibit at the Milwaukee Public Museum, and it was my birthday weekend, so I was like, I'm gonna take a little solo trip. And I went to that exhibit, and I mean, I already known, right? But like, to see how people talked about him in a little bit more of a radical sense than I think what he's, and same with MLK, right? Like, they're definitely both two men that I think were a little bit more radical when you really peel back the layers. And it was a really powerful exhibit. And I'm so sad it's not like a permanent exhibit. It was only a temporary one around this time, but it was great.
I mean, totally. The speech he gave when he came out of prison was a speech that wasn't full of soaring oratory, but it was a speech about politics, about his radical politics and the need not only to tear down apartheid, but for economic justice in South Africa, too. Similarly to MLK and his Poor People's Campaign, and MLK, talking about the Vietnam War, which is an incredible speech, too.
I'm going to clarify real quick, like the idea of being radical, right? I want to clarify basic things like being, anti-apartheid shouldn't be a radical thing. Asking for universal health care, it shouldn't be a radical thing. Asking to close prisons is not a radical thing, but knowing that it is for some people, it is deemed a little bit more controversial. But I want to be clear that like asking for basic necessities and basic humanity and dignity is not radical by any sense of the word.
And also saying that the Vietnam War was immoral wasn't a radical thing either. But Martin Luther King was warned by his aides not to go there, warned by funders not to go there. And yet he went there, and it was just a tremendous speech. And then he talked about economic justice. Then he was in Memphis, you know, with the garbage workers. He was, you know, planning the Poor People's Campaign. He was talking about economic rights and not just racial equality, but economic equality. And it may have been his undoing too, unfortunately. But, you know, he was very brave and had a wide scope, just as Mandela had a wide scope. It wasn't just about, you know, ending apartheid. And he was head of the African National Congress, which was a communist organization. We shouldn't shy away from saying what he was. He was a proud member of the ANC. And also, truth be told, he wasn't for nonviolence. He used violence with the ANC to help overthrow the apartheid regime. I'm a nonviolent guy, but you know, at some point with these struggles for independence, it was necessary for folks to take up arms in Nicaragua and in Cuba, and that's just, it was just a fact. So yeah, saluting Nelson Mandela today. I also wanted to mention 1981 on this date, Ronald Reagan, not my favorite president, fired 11,500 air traffic controllers, which was the opening shot of the right-wing counter-revolution that we're still in the midst of. And our very own Scott Walker pretended to be Ronald Reagan when he dropped the bomb on the people of Wisconsin, to use his own phrase, and you know, went after public sector workers here. Yep. He was mimicking Ronald Reagan. He was pretending to be Ronald Reagan. So that was something we should take note of, and stop the glorification of Ronald Reagan too.
Please, please, please. Every time I land at his airport, and I'm like, ugh, why? I hate it. I hate it.
I still call it National Airport. You know, I came to Washington just a couple months before Ronald Reagan was voted in. Carter was running against Reagan, and Barry Commoner was a third party candidate on the Citizens Party ticket, and a lot of my progressive friends were voting for Barry Commoner. And, you know, I flirted with third party stuff. I was a Nader guy. I actually worked for Ralph Nader too before I supported his presidential campaign. So, but at that point, I saw Ronald Reagan, and I had heard enough about Ronald Reagan, and I was urging my friends on the left not to vote for Barry Commoner and try to get Jimmy Carter reelected, even though he was terrible economically with the Federal Reserve policy and the unemployment and all that. But then we got Reagan, and it's just, you know, with the exception of the Obama presidency and Clinton, though they were neoliberal, we've had, you know, the ramifications of Ronald Reagan that we're still living under. And you've got a couple anniversaries we're going to get to right after the break. I'm Matt Rothschild. She's Angela Lang. We're subbing in for Maggie Dawn on The Maggie Dawn Show. And you can join by calling us at any point or texting us. Just give us a holler. We'd be glad to hear from you. The phone number is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC on the Civic Media Radio Network.